plate a potential nugget.
And just going back to the anti-fragility piece that you mentioned, I'm curious about the term. I'm a big fan of Nassim Nicholas Taleb as well and his work. Talk to us about some of the near-death experiences of Nutanix. And more specifically, what do you mean in terms of anti-fragility, in terms of both building that mechanism at an individual level, but also how do you think about how do you inject anti-fragility into the culture of an organization?
You know, one thing, again, going back to drawing parallels, you know, I really believe the more things change, the more they remain the same. So this Mike Robbins idea of authenticity is highly parallel to Nicholas Taleb's idea of anti-fragility, because they both talk about a spectrum. You know, on the left of Taleb's spectrum is fragile systems.
Right.
On the middle of Taleb's spectrum is resilient systems, which is like honesty. Like, wow, resilience is not good enough. So if you apply pressure to the system and if it goes back to the original state, that's not good enough. Just like honesty is not good enough. So, and both of them apply very similar principles of shock or vulnerability to make it better.
Fascinating.
It's just amazingly fascinating. And this is my epiphany moment that, wow, there are two seemingly disparate things that have the exact same parallels, you know, in terms of the continuum and so on. So anti-fragility and the shocks that Taleb attaches to those things is similar to honesty plus vulnerability makes you more authentic. Which is what, you know, anti-fragile is. So I think learning from shocks, being vulnerable, are things that are very, very closely tied to my psyche now.
And what does being vulnerable mean from a leadership standpoint? What sort of behaviors would you break it down to?
Well, in everything that we do as a business, as engineers, as architects, as product managers, we need to have caveats. Like when we write a design doc, we need to have something that says, and these are the things that we've not considered. And by the way, these are the things that it does not address.
Right.
In a product requirements document, we talk about trade-offs, you know, about what kind of things it does. And all of a sudden, it's more authentic. When you actually talk about the fact that we've not considered these things, you are reducing friction. When you do press releases, you don't talk about industry leader. I hate the word industry leader, self-proclaimed monikers like industry leaders. I'm like, look, we're just trying to be something and we've not achieved that thing, you know. And along the way, we should talk about how we could still fail, you know. And when you say that, all of a sudden, the audience lowers the guard and says, you know what, this is believable because it's human to be vulnerable, actually. You do the same thing in board meetings, you know. How do you actually go there and not try to be this superhuman with a mantle of perfection around you that, you know, is highly impregnable business professional that is basically running a perfect show and so on. Instead, if you look at your board members as human beings and as people you can learn from, and they're willing to help you with some of those things, all of a sudden is a much better board environment than if you had to look at them as people who are overseeing you or something.
Got it. And on culture, how do you think about injecting anti-fragility into your culture at Nutanix? How have you gone about doing that?
I mean, if you think about B2B, and again, similar to B2C as well, customer success is everything. And technologies are never perfect. Products are never perfect. So I look around and look at what really is common about the best brands in the world. It's customer service. You know, you look at the best brands in the world, they could be in completely disparate industries, but the one thing they have in common is loyalty from the customer, which comes because of customer service. It's the human-to-human thing that actually connects businesses to people or consumers, actually. You know, and I was listening to Deepak Chopra 3 years ago, and he said, look, the richest people in the world, they don't buy things. They buy experiences. Right? So how do you deliver that experience during the lows? Well, obviously, technologies fail. So if you go and make it memorable, you know, this idea that you're apologetic and you're vulnerable and yet you will improve the situation. That's what people remember. Mm. They don't remember the fact that your product failed. What they remember is how you came together to really make it better and make their overall experience way better as well. And these are the war stories that humans want to remember. Mm. You know, same thing with software. I mean, we talk about self-healing. Mm. It's at the core of machine learning and AI is that man does less and machine does more. Mm. So what does it mean for machine to do more? Machine learns from another machine about its inherent vulnerabilities, and it tries to improve by recovering on its own and stuff like that. You know, like we run software on commodity hardware. The word commodity is highly vulnerable because, you know, commodity hardware fails a lot. So how does software recover from that? And in this state of being that says, look, it's okay for hardware to fail, I'll go and make it better. Yeah. I'll be able to, before I alert the human, I know exactly what it means for the software to recover and self-heal and so on. I think they are all very important parts of a design of the next generation systems where a man does less and less, and the man-machine interface is not crossed as often as we used to in the past. You know? Humans do as little as possible, and machines can do more because machines are anti-fragile.
Very interesting. That's an interesting parallel to machines and anti-fragility.
What struck me here was the way Dheeraj connects the dots across Mike Robbins' notion of vulnerability and Taleb's version of anti-fragility, and how being vulnerable is like applying shock to a system. Both are quite powerful concepts in the context of developing as a leader and in terms of building a culture in an organization. This reminds me of an incident where I was working with a successful entrepreneur who'd raised a large round of funding from a very prestigious fund house and had hired a business leader to help him scale up so that he could go after growth and new horizons. When I was assessing the entrepreneur in the context of the transition, I spoke to one of his board members and mentors, and he said, this guy is great, strategic, doing the right thing and so on, but he seems to be too sure. It was a very interesting insight and in a way ties back to the point Dheeraj makes about vulnerability. While we celebrate intellectual horsepower and the ability to have an opinion in a leader, there's something to be said about being real, being honest, and saying I'm not sure when it's your interaction with your board, your employees, or your customer. And that trust that you build along the way can go a long way. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com or look for the podcast if you want to listen offline on iTunes, Stitcher, or one of the other podcast apps.